Yesterday we read Parshas Nasai, and as we said, the Kviyas this year is the same as it was in the year Tavshin and Aleph. So back in Tavshin and Aleph, Parshas Nasai also came out on the 12th day of Sivan, and that year the Rebbe did a very unusual thing. The Rebbe held, after the regular Fabrangan, the Rebbe held a surprise Fabrangan. The Rebbe came down and indicated that he wanted to wash the Shalosh Odos, and they had to figure out how to get Chalas downstairs to 770 and bring the Rebbe a washing cup and a towel, and the Rebbe went up to his platform in the front instead of where he normally sat by Fabrengen's. The Rebbe washed and ate, and meanwhile people came running, and it was a bit of a wild scene. Also, the Rebbe afterwards, the Rebbe benched and gave a kosher bracha on Meitzah Shabbos. It was very unusual Fabrengen. And the Rebbe, during that Fabrengen, actually associated his coming down to Shalosh Odos with the imminent redemption. You know, we mentioned last week that there seemed to be a slight de-emphasis on the topic of Mashiach in a few of the talks for a period that covered about 2 weeks. So the week before, I was like this year, Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar came out Erev Shavuos. So Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, even though we're going to focus this week more on Nasai, but I just want to mention that in Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, again, the talk was didn't seem to focus so much on the topic of Mashiach. It seemed to talk more in general about the significance of Matan Torah and the giving of the Torah in the desert. But if you actually look a little closer in the themes that the Rebbe discussed, just as in the week before, he's definitely developing themes that he had started developing in the earlier weeks in terms of our job in preparing for the ultimate redemption. The themes being in terms of the fact that we have to, on the one hand, impact the world and transform the world. On the other hand, the idea that we have to bring down, that as preparation for Geula, we have to bring down the highest revelations of godliness into the world. So, and how to fuse those two things, the infinite revelations of godliness into the finite world. But even then, Parshas Bamidbar, again, at the end, the Rebbe does reference the topic of Mashiach, and again, makes a clear allusion to the issue of the identity of Mashiach. In the end of Parshas Bamidbar, the Rebbe talks the theme in that sikha is about the effect that Torah has on the world, that it brings stability and peace to the world. As it says that the world was trembling until the Torah was given, and then the world rested. Chazal say, because since God made a condition with the world that it will only exist if the Jewish people accept the Torah, that its existence is contingent on the Jewish people accepting the Torah, so Chazal described the world as being unstable before the act, until the point where the Jews actually accepted the Torah. The world is in a state of flux, of instability, and when they accepted the Torah, then the world stabilized, became achieved a restful state. So the whole theme of the Sicha, Parshas Bamidbar, is how the Torah brings the idea of this union of menucha, of a restful state, and a person's personal avodah and so on. But at the conclusion, here again, the Rebbe makes a very specific allusion to the issue, which, as we explained last week, was the topic of the day, was the issue having to do with specifically with the identity of Mashiach. So the Rebbe says that in the end of the Sichan Parshas Bamidbar, it says in Eis Yud Gimel, V'hiratzen, that the increase and chiddush in the study of Torah, coming from the time of the giving of the Torah, should increase even more in menucha, restfulness, menuchas hanefesh, restfulness of the soul, menuchas haguf, and restfulness of the body, from the lime de Torah, from those who study Torah, mitach brias hanesham and brias haguf, and health of the soul and health of the body, and menucha from al yidin b'chal makim shehev, and restfulness for all Jews in every place in which they are. And similarly, it should bring menucha into the entire world, to the point that, here's what the Rebbe, to the point that this will bring very soon the true, the menucha amitis v'ashleima, the true and complete menucha of the day that is entirely Shabbos and menucha for all eternity, which is the negation of the exile of Jews. Because exile is the greatest opposite, the greatest antithesis to menucha, to the restfulness and settledness of Jews. As it says, woe unto the children that were exiled from upon their father's table. So it becomes canceled all the upheavals of exile, and also the opposite of restfulness that is associated with the inner exile in the service of God, the internal exile in the service of God, including, and obviously, the negation of all the concealments of exile, and all the questions and the details of the redemption, and all the questions about our righteous Mashiach, which those all come from the Golos itself, because of the fact that we were born in exile and raised in exile. Therefore, one is a galus mensch, an exile person, God forbid. And we find ourselves in a galus situation. So all that should be canceled and transformed through true repentance, through revealing by oneself and emphasizing the soul, which is literally a part of God above, which stands higher than the exile, and stands in a state of menucha, restfulness, similar to the Shabbos and menucha that we will have for all time in the future time. And this should come in the way of Miyad. Miyad being the Rosh HaTevis of Moshe, Yisrael, and David. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yisrael the Baal Shem Tov, and David Malka Mashiach. The three shepherds associated, the three Jewish leaders associated with the holiday of Shavuos. And this should be immediately, literally immediately. Again, as we said, the Rosh HaTevis, mamish, in a way of mamashas, in the physicality and materiality of the world, to the point that we make from the material physical and from the physical a vessel to spirit, to the spiritual, to the highest levels of spirituality, till the actually a vessel to as it were the essence of God Himself, which is specifically connected to the physical existence and the true and complete redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu, in a manner of zrizus, of haste, accomplishing and doing the matter. And then David Malkin Mashiach will come and redeem us. And every one of us will say to Mashiach, Shalom Aleichem. Each one of us will say to Mashiach, Shalom Aleichem. We say Aleichem Lashon Rabbim. Why do we say Aleichem Lashon Rabbim? Because he's included in him is all the souls of all the Jews of the generation of redemption. And he answers each person individually. We will say to Mashiach, Shalom Aleichem. And he will answer to each individual, Aleichem Shalom. Because Aleichem, so why does he say Aleichem in the plural to each individual? Because this includes all of the work and actions of each Jew. And Aleichem Shalom to all Jews together. And also, and the main thing is that this should be Miyad. So the Rebbe concluded the Sirah Parshas Bamidbar again, in which we said that he seemed to be less of an obvious emphasis on Mashiach. So the Rebbe concludes that Sirah by saying that we need to remove all the concealments of exile, including the concealments that are expressed in the various questions people have about the redemption and about the identity of Mashiach, which all these questions come from the fact that they were born and raised in Golos, and they're Golos people. And that's why people have these questions. So again, it was a clear allusion to the fact that the Rebbe was clearly alluding to the fact that there were people raising questions about the identity of Mashiach. And even in conclusion, the Rebbe spoke about the Rosh Tevis of Miyad. And the Rebbe said that the Miyad, just like we said before, the Miyad Rosh Tevis, that those Rosh Tevis should also be Mamish, which seemed to be alluding to the Rosh Tevis of Mamish. And then the Rebbe said, again, he keeps emphasizing the role of Mashiach himself, that we'll actually come and each Jew will say to Mashiach, Shalom Aleichem, and the Mashiach will answer, Aleichem Shalom. The Rebbe was clearly, even if, again, it was all through allusions and not through, but clearly the Rebbe was alluding to the issue that had come up, as we explained last week, in that period, questions about the propriety of discussing the identity of Mashiach. Even though that was who tried to point, as we said, to these two sikhas where the topic seems to be on the low emphasis, we showed how in each one that ever alludes to the role of Mashiach and to Mashiach the person, it gets even stronger that night, Maitzah Shabbos, the next night, I'm sorry, when the Sunday night when people came back from Talucha. So the Rebbe greeted those returning from Talucha and spoke about and said a few, a short sikha, and which was edited and printed. And in that talk, the Rebbe spoke almost entirely about Mashiach. The Rebbe spoke about how it says about Shavuos that there is a debate between the Tanoim if one is required to eat on Yom Tov. There is an opinion that says that when it comes to, one opinion says on Yom Tov, part of the obligation of Simcha is that you have to eat. So it's another opinion that says, no, Yom Tov, you have the option to either be totally devoted to God or totally devoted or to yourself. In other words, to either experience in terms of physical joy, or you could be totally devoted to spiritual joy, and you don't have to, there's no obligation to eat, to celebrate with food and wine. But the Gemara says that even according to that opinion, when it comes to Shavuos, Hakel Maidim, all views agree that Batzeres Be'ina Nami Lachem, that on Shavuos you need to also celebrate in a physical, tangible way by eating and drinking. So the Rebbe quoted from a Kailash Sefer that says that the words Nami Lachem is the gematria of Kates. The words Nami Lachem equal 190, which is the gematria of Kates. And the word Ba'inan that we need, we require in Aramaic, is also related to the word Ba'aya, to seek out, to ask. So it says that Hakamayim Ba'inan Nami Lachem, that the Batzeres Ba'inan Nami Lachem, that Shavuos is the time when we need to daven for the Kates. There's a time to daven for redemption. So the Rebbe spoke about the connection of Shavuos and redemption, and how specifically redemption is expressed in a physical meal. So the Rebbe says we could also connect this with the fact that Shavuos is the day of the passing of David Malka Meshicha, because we know that on the day of a person's passing, it says in Tanya that soul is able to accomplish great salvations down here on the day of his yahrzeit of a great tzaddik. So it's understood that that on Shavuos there's a special pe'ula and hashpah in the matter of David, in parentheses, of David, in the union of Melech HaMashiach. A special accomplishment and influence, Hashpah from above in the matter of Melech HaMashiach, which represents the end of Golos. He represents the end of Golos and the true and complete redemption. It also associated with the Baal Shem Tov, it was also associated with the true redemption, and Moshe Rabbeinu associated with the true redemption. So here again, the Rebbe emphasizes the association with redemption, and specifically with Melech HaMashiach. On this, the Rebbe spoke at the Farbrengen. The Rebbe's on the Shavuos Farbrengen, there were times when the Rebbe would say, besides for the regular sichas, he would also say a sicha that he says that he would say that this sicha is his contribution to the Torah gathering. The Rebbe had called upon already in the time of the Friedrich Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe wanted that they should organize yeshiva students from all the different yeshivas, not just from Lubavitch yeshivas. They should organize the yeshiva students from all the different yeshivas, and one of the activities they should do in organizing all the yeshiva students from all the different yeshivas is that after each Yom Tov they should have a Torah gathering, where different people should get up and share their insights and in Torah. So even though that was not very long lived, and generally had very few people from other yeshivas participate, but the tradition continued that after each Yom Tov we make what's called a Kinnas Torah. So it's mostly it's almost all Lubavitchers. Occasionally they'll get a guest speaker from some other group to come and share his Torah insights, but basically it ended up becoming almost entirely a Lubavitch only thing. But the Rebbe would sometimes on a Yom Tov say, especially Shavuos, he would say that he's a certain sicha, he's saying it as his contribution to the Kinnas Torah, to the Torah gathering. So the Rebbe spoke on the topic of Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitze, and they put out again a separate edited sicha besides for the sicha that was of Bamidbar and Shavuos together. They ever put out a separate edited sikh on the topic of Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitze, in which the Rebbe tries to resolve certain questions to explain what's the idea of having a new Torah. How could you have a new Torah? You could have new revelations in Torah, but how could you have a new Torah? Especially when it seems to indicate that there's going to be actually changes in the halacha. How could you have changes in halacha? So the Rebbe explains that it's specifically a higher revelation of Torah, of that aspect of Torah which was not fully revealed at the giving of Matan Torah, and which is beyond human comprehension. And so Rebbe again here, the Rebbe emphasizes the role of Melech HaMashiach, that what will happen is that Melech HaMashiach will internalize this higher level of Torah, and he will be able to teach it to the peoples to the point that that human intellect will understand it. So the reason why the halacha was established a certain way is based on how the Torah sages understood till that point. Once there will be this higher revelation of understanding. So again, the whole topic was all about the Mashiach and Geula, with a special emphasis on the role of Melech HaMashiach in terms of that the Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitze, even though it's a revelation that comes from God Himself, and can only come from God Himself, it's beyond anything that human beings could even begin to comprehend, the way it will come down to us is through Melech HaMashiach, that He will internalize that, and He will in turn be able to transmit it to us so that we will be able to understand it. And similarly, those who are in charge of issuing the halachic rulings will come to a new level of understanding, and that's why it'll change in the laws like Beis Shammai, and so on. So, here again, when the Rebbe talks about the role of Melech HaMashiach, and the Indian of Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitze, right, so the Rebbe again, it keeps emphasizing the role of Melech HaMashiach in terms of establishing the three new cities of refuge. Why are we going to need three new cities of refuge? Each thing that Rebbe explains in terms of the role of Mashiach. So when it comes to Shabbos Parshas Nasai, as we said, the Rebbe spoke about, we said that in addition to the regular Farbrengen, there was also the later surprise Farbrengen. So this sikh is basically a combination of the two. So the Rebbe starts off with explaining the connection between Parshas Nasai and the giving of the Torah, which in most years Parshas Nasai follows Shavuos. The Rebbe explains that the Shabbos always represents the completion of everything that came in the week before. So that means the Shabbos of Parshas Nasai immediately following Matan Torah represents the completion of Matan Torah. And even more so when it comes out in a year like this, where it comes out on Yud Beis Sivan, on the 12th of Sivan, since the 12th of Sivan is the last of the 7 days of Tashlumin, the 7 makeup days for bringing the personal sacrifice that each person had to bring. So it represents the completion of Matan Torah, and it's actually expressed in the parasha of Parshas Nasai, because Nasai starts off with the words, Nasi Yisraish, raise up the head. What does it mean? What's the ultimate way of raising up the head? The ultimate way of raising up the head in the person's service of Hashem is through the study of Torah. So not only through the study of Torah is the person's head raised up, but it also raises up his entire body, including the feet, because the body follows the head. Meaning, what does it mean in spiritual divine service? Meaning that even his avodah in the world, not just his avodah of studying Torah, it elevates his head, it also elevates his feet, it elevates everything. So it elevates even in his avodah in the world, is in a state of elevation. The Rebbe says, also alluded in the fact that it says that you should nasa yisraish b'nei geshen gam heim. You should raise the head of the sons of Gershon, also them. What does it mean, also them? Because not only the children of Kehas, which we counted in the end of last week's parsha, the end of Bamidbar, Kehas being the ones who carry the Aron, so their connection with Torah is much greater. That says here, by the sons of Gershon, Nasi Yisraish b'nei Gershon gam heim, even though they were more involved with carrying the other parts of the Mishkan, which represent more the idea of the world as a vessel to the revelation of Torah, that it's that even those other matters, not just Torah study, even all other matters of a Jew have to be elevated through the study of Torah. Similarly, the Rebbe says, since we have the custom not only of learning Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, but we continue through the summer months, we start again after Shavuos. So in the first week following Shavuos, we start with Moshe Kibul Torah Mizina. So the Rebbe says, if that's the case, and similarly, by the way, Moshe Kibul Torah Mizina, and it continues and says he gave it to Yeshua, so it emphasizes the transmission of the Torah to all Jews, and even more so, it continues that the Anshik Nesagdeo said three things, one of which is Hamidu Tamidim Harbe, that you should establish many students, which emphasizes the idea of the Torah as it relates to each and every person throughout the generations. And then at the conclusion of the parak, we talk not only the impact, the importance of studying the Torah, we talk about the impact of Torah on the world. As it says, on three things the world stands. Talk about the effect and influence and impact on the world. We say on three things the world stands. On Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. That's the next Mishnah. Until the end of the paragraph, we say on three things the world is on three things the world is Kayam. On Din, on Emes, on Shalom. So it's emphasized both the idea of the giving of the Torah, and also its impact on the world. So since we say that the time of the giving of the Torah is not just celebrating an event that took place in the past, but it's actually a spiritual renewal each year. It's a spiritual renewal of the Chiddush in the giving of the Torah. So that means if we say that the Shabbos following the giving of the Torah represents the Shleimus of that, so that means, meaning even a chiddush legabi the Shavuos itself. So if that's the case, so we need to understand what's this chiddush that's added following Matan Torah, that's added that we need, that's added in the pot, in the Shabbos following Matan Torah, even greater than the Chiddush of Matan Torah itself. So the Rebbe explains that we have on the pasuk that B'chedesh Hashlishi B'Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, that Rashi says, why does it say on this day they arrived? You're talking about an event that took place in the past. It should say B'Yom Ahu, on that day. What does it say on this day? So Rashi says, to teach you that Torah, words of Torah have to be new to you as if they were given on this day. That it's a lesson for all time, that each day, yeah, Torah has to be brand new. So Evers is very, the Torah expects you to treat something as brand new if it's not brand new. It's around for thousands of years. What does it mean, brand new? We have to say if the Torah expects that of you, it's because it's actually true. It is brand new. So how is the Torah brand new? Evers is just as we know that the world is constantly recreated, as we say that he renews the world each day. Sinus explains it doesn't just mean each day. Means every second. The world is constantly being recreated. Same thing applies to the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah is constantly being renewed. It's happening anew. And that the giving of the Torah is happening anew, which actually is the reason why, one of the reasons given why, when we make the Torah blessings, we say, he who gives. We bless he who gives the Torah, not he who gave. She gave the Torah thousands of years ago. Why are you blessing he who gives? You'd be blessing he who gave the Torah. The answer is because, you know, it's constantly being given anew. Fact, that ever says, even though we're extrapolating it from the fact that the world is created anew, it's actually the other way around. Since the world is created through the Torah, as it says, he looked into the Torah and created the world, so it's actually the other way around. Because the Torah is constantly being given anew, it's through the fact that the Torah is constantly being given anew that the world is constantly being recreated anew. So the Rebbe says, so what's new about the Shavuos? We say that the whole idea of a Shavuos, we celebrate each holiday. It's not just a celebration of the past, but it's a renewal. So what's the renewal of Shavuos different than the renewal of each day? We said that Torah is given anew each day. What's the renewal of Shavuos different than the daily renewal? So the Rebbe says, just like by Rosh Hashanah, we say that the Rosh Hashanah, the Eivishter, renews the world in general for a whole year. And then, from that general renewal, comes the specific renewal of each day and each moment throughout the year. The same thing applies to Torah. Shavuos is the time of the renewal, the general renewal for the whole following year. And then there's the individual renewal of each day throughout the year. So if that's the case, when we say that the Torah has to be like to a person like it's brand new, as if it was given this day, and Rashi explains, there's a similar Rashi in Vayis Chanan, where Rashi also says that the Torah is to be new, like it's brand new. But there Rashi adds some details. Rashi says you shouldn't treat it like an old royal decree, but you should treat it like a brand new one, right? So that everybody runs. The Rashi says is you treat it like a brand new royal decree that Hako Ratzim Lekrasa. Everybody runs to hear the new decree, right? Just like right when the old image of the newsboy standing on the street corner, extra read all about it, the brand new, the fresh news hot off the press. So the same thing back in the old days when you got your royal decree. So you had your old copies of the old royal decrees that were sitting on the shelf getting dusty. And then when the guy who was in charge of going out into the street and announcing the newest royal decree, when he would say there's a new royal decree, everybody came running to hear what the new... So Rashi says, when we say that your Torah has to be treated like it's brand new, like it was given today, it means that you should treat it like a new royal edict that everybody goes running to hear. So the Rebbe says that expresses not just the idea of newness and freshness, but that it's something that people do energetically and with pleasure. So when we say that the Torah, that the renewal of Torah is not simply is the fact that the Torah is being renewed and is for the whole year on Shavuos, and then each individual day, each individual moment, the idea is that it's supposed to give you, infuse you. So when we say the Torah should be, you should treat it like it's new. So what's the practical difference of treating it like it's new? That you should relate to it with enthusiasm, with enjoyment. So we're talking about that there should be an increased level of enthusiasm and enjoyment in your Torah study. So the question is, we have the general renewal of the whole year that takes place on Shavuos. We have the individual renewal of each day and each moment. What's so special about this Shabbos right after Shavuos that we say it's the completion of Matan Torah? It's what's unique about this particular Shabbos following Shavuos? So the Rebbe says that the special Chiddush, besides for the general Chiddush of Shavuos and the individual Chiddush of each day, what's the special Chiddush of the Shabbos after Shavuos? So the Rebbe says, in order to understand this, we have to first understand what's this idea of a chiddush in Torah altogether. We say that the Torah was given, and it includes in it everything that any future student of Torah will be mechadish, will come up with a new insight, a new understanding, a new interpretation, everything that it will be mechadish. The question is, how could you make up something new in Torah? Either it was given or it wasn't given. So the answer that's given is that it was given in a way that it contain everything it's not explicit, it's implicit, it's not open, it's latent, it's hidden and concealed within the Torah, and you through the individual effort and diligence and study of each student down the road, he's able to extract new understanding and new insights that weren't given originally in a revealed way. If that's the case, so following that understanding, we apply the same thing also to the ultimate Chiddush in Torah. What's the ultimate Chiddush in Torah? The ultimate Chiddush in Torah is what we say that in the future, time of the future redemption, will be Torah Chadosh Meiti Teitza. So we have to say the same thing. We don't see, there's not going to be another Matan Torah again. There's not going to be another giving of the Torah. So we have to say that even the Torah Chadasha, which is so high that it can only come from the Eibishter itself, Meiti, only it has to come from him himself. And yet we say that that was already given at Matan Torah. And we're talking about a Chiddush in Torah that's so much greater, to the point that Chazal say that the Torah that a person learns in this world is like nothing compared to the Torah that will be revealed in the future. And we say, additionally, we say that the Chiddush in Torah that will take place in the future time, just as we said nowadays, that the Chiddush of each day that the Torah is renewed, that's what brings about the renewal and creation. Similarly, in the future time, we say there will be a Torah Chadasha. It also says, the Navi says, there will be Hashamayim HaChadasha V'aretz HaChadasha. There will be a renewal and creation. It'll be a brand new, that Abraham says, I'm going to create a brand new heavens and a brand new earth. So what's in addition to the general Chiddush that relates to Matan Torah and the Chiddush of the renewal of Matan Torah each day, which, what does that mean? That means that the same thing that was revealed in the original Matan Torah is constantly being renewed each year and then individually each day. In addition to that, there's the concept of renewal in the fact that there will be something new added that was not revealed previously. To the point that we say that there will be a new Torah and a new heaven and earth. Rebbe explains that, what does this mean? That contained in the Torah is already the renewal of the new Torah and the new heavens and the new earth. Yeah, but so what? It's not something that we see. It's not something that we experience. So the Rebbe explains that it says like this. It says that whoever says something in the name of the person who said it originally brings redemption to the world. Obviously, we're talking about why is it necessary to give attribution, and how does providing attribution to the person who said it, how does that bring redemption? What's the significance of attributing it to the person who originally said it? Obviously, the idea is that he's saying a novel insight. I don't have to say, if somebody tells me the pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim, I don't have to say, oh, I heard from Chaim that Bereishis Bara Elokim. I don't have to attribute it to him. When do I have to attribute something I hear from somebody? When I hear a new idea, a new insight. It's only when I hear a chiddush that I'm not supposed to say, and I repeat it, I'm not supposed to say it over my own name. I'm supposed to say it in the name. I'm not supposed to say it as if it's my own. I'm supposed to say it in the name of the one who came up with it. So what's the idea of a chiddush in Torah? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya that these are represent hidden aspects of wisdom that were the words kvushim bagayla, that were trapped in exile. When a Jew studies Torah and figures out the pshat, and he comes up with an understanding, with an insight, he takes those hidden aspects of wisdom out of exile and brings them to redemption. So he actually, according to the Alter Rebbe, is actually achieving redemption within Torah itself. There's aspects of Torah that are trapped in concealment, and he's bringing redemption. So similarly, so through the redemption in Torah, that's what it means. It brings redemption to the world. And that's why you have to attribute it to the person who came up with the Chiddush. Because the whole point is of the chiddush in Torah is that that's what brings about a chiddush in the world. However, that redemption of each person who studies Torah and comes up with a novel insight and interpretation, that's all taking place while we're still in exile. In fact, even just like the redemption of Purim, we call it a redemption, but we say the reason we don't say Hallel on Purim is because we're still the slaves of Ahasuerus. It's a redemption, but it's not a complete redemption. We're still enslaved by the nations. So similarly, each individual person's. So the reason for that is why are we still in exile? If we brought if every novel interpretation insight in Torah brings redemption to Torah and redemption to the world, the answer is because there's still many other aspects of Torah that are still trapped in exile. The job hasn't been completed. So when will be the completion of the redemption in Torah? When all the matters in Torah that were previously concealed will be revealed by God Himself. This Torah Chadashim, this new Torah will be revealed, meaning a revelation that's only in the power of the Eibishter Himself. But then we'll have the ultimate revelation. And this will bring the ultimate revelation in the world. As we know, world, the Hebrew word for world, means concealment. Eilam means concealment. When we say bringing Geula la Eilam, that's what the Gemara says. You bring Geula la Eilam means that it takes away the concealment of the world, and you see that the world is the world itself is also all godliness. Not only through the revealing those things that were previously concealed within Torah, this also breaks the concealment of the world and reveals the godliness in the world, up to and including the power of the divine essence itself, which we say that the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that the whole physical existence is only in the power of Atzmus to actually create a physical object. So that's when we have the complete dwelling for the Eibishter, in which he's able to be fully revealed in his very essence. And the Rebbe also adds that from this great light that will be revealed without a concealment, without a garment, it's from this light that will also spread to the nations of the world as well, as it says in Tanya. So the Rebbe says, as relates to the renewal of the new heavens and the new earth, relative to the renewal of the world, we could draw a parallel, and that way highlight the contrast, the difference between the renewal of the world that took place at the giving of the Torah and the renewal of the world that will take place in the future time. We said that the renewal of the world that took place in the time of Matan Torah was, as we said in the earlier sikha, which we mentioned at the beginning, that the world was in a state of flux, in a state of instability, because the condition through which God created the world, that the Jews accepted Torah, that condition had not yet been met. So the world was still hanging, and it only achieved its state of restfulness and stability at the giving of the Torah. However, at the time of the giving of the Torah, we say that the lion's share of Torah remained in a state of concealment. Yes, the Torah was given, but there's so much, as much as was revealed, there's so much more that was not yet revealed. To the point that we say that the Torah that we study today, compared to the Torah that will be revealed in the future, is like nothing. So as much as was revealed, there was so much more that was not revealed. So the same thing, the renewal of the world was a renewal in such a way that the world continued to, just like in Torah, there was more concealment than revelation. Same thing with the world that was renewed at the giving of the Torah. That the world that was renewed at the giving of the Torah was a world in which there's more concealment than revelation. However, in the renewal in Torah that will take place with the giving of a Torah Chadasha, a Torah Chadasha means that everything that was previously concealed is now going to be fully revealed, including the revelation of the one who's giving the Torah. So the same thing happens in the world, that all the concealments are removed, and we have the ultimate revelation in the world, to the point that actually, the Rebbe says, another difference is that we say one of the explanations we give from what was accomplished at Matan Torah is that Matan Torah allowed for the connection between the higher realms and the lower realms. Right? We say that there was a decree that the people of Syria should not go to Rome, and the people of Rome should not go to Syria. There was a separation between the higher realms and the lower realms. At the giving of the Torah, the Eibishter abolished that separation, and now there can be a connection between the higher realms and the lower realms. That means, by definition, the way you define reality is there are higher realms and there are lower realms. What makes one higher, one lower? The higher means places where there's a greater degree of godly revelation. The lower realms is a place where there's a lesser degree of godly revelation, to the point that our world is described as the lowest of the low, that is such a degree of concealment that it's the lowest of the low. But in the future time, when we say that all the concealments in Torah are removed, and therefore all the concealments in the world are removed, so there's no real difference between higher worlds and lower worlds, higher and lower. It's revealed in all of existence, the divine essence, which transcends higher and lower, and in fact reveals that it's all one, it's all Him. So that was said, now we can understand what's added in the Shabbos following Matan Torah. The Shabbos following Matan Torah is more emphasized, these Chedushim, more than the renewal of the Torah each year. And this is actually expressed in the topics of Torah that we study on the Shabbos following, right? We said that you see the connection to Matan Torah from the Parsha of Nosoi and from the first chapter of the Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai. So the Rebbe says, the beginning of Parshas Nosoi is Nosoi Yisroish. We said that elevating the head. What does it mean, elevating the head? What's higher? You have to elevate intellect to what's higher than intellect. What's higher than intellect? But the idea is studying Torah out of pleasure. But pleasure is that which transcends intellect. And this actually brings a tremendous quality in Torah to the point of a chiddush in Torah. And we said that the main chiddush is in the future time, when it'll be Torah Chadasha Be'iti Teitzei, So how we have a Rashi that describes the revelation of Torah in the future time. He says, what will be revealed? The Torah we already have. What he describes what's being revealed as Taimei Torah. The reasons. So time is also associated with pleasure. Like there's the inner hidden pleasure within Torah. So we see from the Pasuk that the Pasuk is talking about counting the tribe of Levi. It says, Nasa Yisraish. But it's talking about members of the tribe of Levi. So the Rebbe says that the Rambam says that when it comes to the study of Torah, that even though the Eibush has set aside the tribe, the Rambam says in the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, that even though the Eibush has set aside the tribe of Levi to be fully, that they didn't have their own lands, and they were dependent on gifts of produce from the other people. The reason they didn't have their own land was because they were supposed to be fully dedicated to the study of Torah. The Rambam explains that it's not only for Shevet Levi, but any person whose spirit is moved and his heart is and his knowledge he understands and he's moved to separate himself to stand before God to serve Him and to in order to know Him, and he throws from he throws off his shoulder the yoke of many cheshbonos that people seek out, so he becomes sanctified, holy of holies, and the Eibushter will provide for him. He doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to, the Eibushter will provide for him just like he provides for the tribe of Levi. So the Rebbe said, that's nowadays. In the future time, the Rambam said, in the time of the Geula, nobody will be busy with anything else. So that means everybody will be on the level of Shevet Levi, of the tribe of Levi. So when we say that in this week's parasha, it says, the Nasius Reish, raise up the head, and it's talking about members of the tribe of Levi, now we talk about in relation to Geula, that applies to all Jews, because all Jews will be on the level of the tribe of Levi. So this in this Shabbos is in this parasha is more emphasized this inyan of the Chiddush in Torah that will be take place in the future time. And he says also this is also emphasized in the parasha of Nazir that we read, the laws of the Nazir. Because one of the laws of Nazir is that if a person says, I will become a Nazir on the day that Mashiach comes, if a person takes upon himself that he will become a Nazir on the day that Mashiach comes, so it's Paskin Lahalocha, that he's not allowed to drink wine forever. He has to practice the Naziris forever. Why? Because Mashiach can come today. Since we don't know when Mashiach will come, Mashiach can come today. So you see that you have to treat that in the laws of Nazir, we don't treat Mashiach as some far off future reality. We treat it as something that's immediate and has legal implications, as something that's immediate. So here the Rebbe says, this is the thing I wanted to get. The Rebbe says, from this we can understand, even as it relates to Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitzei, and here's, this is the thing I was trying to get. The Rebbe says like this, which is the ultimate Nasayas Reish, the ultimate elevation of the head, after the idea of being removing oneself entirely from worldly matters as expressed by the idea of Naziris. So the Rebbe says, we understand from this that we're not, that Terech Chadosh Me'iti Teitzei is not something we're supposed to relate to as a future thing. It doesn't fall into the category of the future, even though the word Teitzei means will go forth in the future. No, it's something we have to relate to as it's something that's in the category of present tense. And he writes out, Terech Chadosh Me'iti Yitzas, a new Torah is currently going out from me. Then the Rebbe says, "Ad," to the point that in the instant immediately following, it already falls into the category of the past tense. And again, in the parentheses, the Rebbe says, "Terech Chadosh Me'iti Yatza," it has already gone out. So, and then the Rebbe continues. I can't go through all the things. He continues. He connects it to all the different things in the parsha. The Rebbe also connects to the parasha of how does one come to this Chiddush in Torah. So the Rebbe says the way one comes to this Chiddush in Torah is that we know that every Jew has a spark of the soul of Mashiach within him, the Yechida. Therefore, through the revelation of Yechida within each and every Jew, we speed up. That's how we accomplish the revelation of the general Yechida, which is Mashiach himself. And that's when we'll have the revelation of Torah Chadoshim Yititetze, which is Pnimis HaTorah, Yechida Shabbatera. And through that we'll have the Shemayim HaChadoshim, Eretz HaChadoshim, the revelation of Yechida even in the entire world. Through the revelation of the Yechida, of the Jew, that's how we, through each person revealing his own Yechida, that's how we reveal the general Yechida of the Mashiach, which will bring the revelation of Torah Chadoshim Yititetze. And the Rebbe shows the connection, the beginning of the parasha, the end of the parasha, which again, also through the aspect of unity, that the unity of the 12 Nesiim, the Rebbe touches again on the theme of unity, which he has been over the last number of sichas. The Rebbe connects it to the first paragraph of Pirkei Avos and the Mishnah that we learned before and the Mishnah that we learned after. How each of these express the Yechida and the aspect of Mashiach within each person. So every Jew has a share in the world to come. The world to come is talking about the time of the resurrection, as the commentaries explain, which and it's alluded to in the verse V'amich Kulam Tzadikim, which that's on the level where all Jews are equal, which is the aspect of Yechida. And the Rebbe connects it to the very day of Shabbos itself. And the Rebbe says even more, it's even more emphasized in this year, because, here's another point I wanted to get to, because since we mentioned many times that according to all the signs in the words of Chazal about the end of days, our generation is the first generation of, is the last generation of exile, the first generation of redemption, as the Rebbe de Schwer testified, in connection with his famous proclamation, immediately to Tshuva, immediately to Geula, he already said in his days, many decades ago, that they already finished all matters of the Abayda, and it's only necessary to polish the buttons and to stand ready. How much more so after all the work we've done in spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit and Hafat Samayonis, including we've already reached the Shlemus of 40 years, and we already have eyes, heart to know, eyes to see, and ears to hear. Certainly, we've already finished polishing all the buttons, and we're already standing ready to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu. This is even more emphasized in this year, the year of Tavshinun Aleph, which is alluded to in the pasuk Tinasei Malchusai, which is referring to David and Shlaima, that his kingdom will be raised up in the entire world. It's also Rosh Tevis Arenu Nefloes. Starting from the wonders that we've already seen in this year, in which it was fulfilled the words of the Yalkut Shemini, that the year in which Melech HaMashiach is revealed, all the kings of the nations will be at war with each other, the king of Persia, the king of the Arabian king. And God says to the Jewish people, my sons, do not be afraid. Everything I did I have not done except for you. The time of your redemption has arrived. So the Rebbe says, since then, and in parentheses he adds, especially in the month of Nisan, the month of redemption, we're already standing further than that. We're standing not in just in the year that Mashiach comes, but we're standing in the time that Mashiach comes. There's another medrash that says B'shah Shemelech HaMashiach, but in the hour, the time that Mashiach comes, he announces to the Jewish people and he says, Anov Migiyaz Mangulas. So the Rebbe says, so similarly we're standing in Parshas Nasai, which is also some of the letters of Tinasai, Shnasai Red on the Floor, is the Nasai, Shevet Tinasai. The Rebbe says, so this is the most auspicious time for the Chiddush of Terech Hadoshim Iti Teitzei, and the new heavens and the new earth, again, not only in the future tense, but in the present tense, to the point that in the moment immediately after, it's in the ready in the past tense, because Hine Zebo Kvarbo. He has already come. And then the Rebbe associates the connection with the fact that he made that second spontaneous farbrengen, including washing and benching and kreishol bracha, and the association with that in Geula. The Rebbe says, therefore, there has to be a tremendous renewal and increase in the study of Torah, with energy and enthusiasm and enjoyment, to the point that people are machadish chedushim in Torah, including a chedush and an increase in the study and spreading of pnimis on Torah. And everyone should take upon themselves to study the chapter of the week of Pirkei Avos, and besides just reading it, they should also try to learn at least one Mishnah in depth. The Rebbe says from the Shabbat, from the talk, and the good resolutions in all of the above, we should immediately come to the revelation of Terech Hadosh Mititetze in the true and complete redemption through Mashiach Zidkenu, and Moshe and Aaron will be with them, and the Baal Shem Tov and all the Rabbeim, together with all the Tzaddikim and the Nesiim of the Jewish people and all the Jewish people of the earlier generations, and all together they will hear the Terech Hadosh. And the main thing is it should be taken from Miyad. Miyad, Rosh Tevis, Moshe, Yisrael, Baal Shem Tov, David, Malka, Mashiach. And here's where the Rebbe said, the famous time where the Rebbe said, another time later also, where the Rebbe said, Kipshutei Mamesh, Ba'ifen Shal Mamashas, Lamatim Yasera Tvachim Mamesh Mamesh. The Rebbe had a, you have to, again, right after the Rebbe explained the Rosh Tevis of Miyad, the Rebbe said, Mamesh, Mamesh. So the whole thrust of the Sicha, the whole point of the Sicha that the Rebbe is trying to bring out here, again, obviously there were many, many points made here, but here again, the Rebbe keeps emphasizing the role of Melech HaMashiach in the process of revealing the Terech HaDosha, and that there has to be an adjustment, a switch. Not just saying that what is supposed to take place in the future, boy, wouldn't it be nice if it was in the present, and then we could say it's in the past, because a minute later we could say it's in the past. Wouldn't that be great? The point of these expressions, where the Rebbe is actually, in the first time he says that, he like writes in the parentheses that it's not just Terech Hadosh Miti Teitze, but it's Terech Hadosh Miti Yitzas, and then not only in the present tense, and not only Terech Hadosh Miti Yitzas in the present tense, Terech Hadosh Miti Yotza in the past tense is not what it says in the past. The point that the Rebbe is trying to bring out is, and again, by the Rebbe is saying that we passed, we're not just in the year that Mashiach is arrived, but since then, and there was especially in the month of Nisan, which is clearly a reference back to Chavchas Nisan and things that Rebbe said in the month of Nisan, since then, we've passed. And now we're not just in the Shana Shemel HaMashiach, but Nigla Baba, we're in the B'Shah Shemel HaMashiach, in the time that he comes. The point that the Rebbe is clearly trying to make here is that we need to transition from from future tense to present tense and the past tense, not just by waiting for something to happen to make it present tense and to make it past tense. He's talking about an internal shift in terms of how you relate to Torah, how you relate to the world, how you see the do you still relate to the Torah as something that and the world, are you relating to the concealment or are you relating to the revelation? The whole point of the Torah Chadosh, the whole point of the Shemayim HaChadosh, of Eretz HaChadosh, is what the Rebbe is saying is that we're in like an in between stage, so to speak, where you can see the world the way you always saw it before, as he said in the end of the Sikha before, that a person who was born in Golis, grew up in Golis, he's a Golis mensch. And that's why he has all these questions and all these doubts. You could see the world the way it was, or you could see the world the way it is becoming. Do you see? In other words, it's everything that the Terech Hadosh is already accessible. The Eretz Hadosh and the Shemayim Hadosh is already accessible. You can see the world as a place of concealment, where you're fighting and struggling for every little bit of divine insight, understanding, inspiration, revelation. Or you could actually, the Rebbe talks in terms of revealing the Yechidish of an Nefesh, but what that means is that you can actually get in touch with your own inner Mashiach, so to speak. And it's actually at this, we're already at the point where you can experience this new revelation in Torah and this new revelation in the world by seeing the world as it truly is, by seeing the world as a world in which all the work was done and everything was finished and everything's complete. And but that's really not a question of something that, again, what do I do? You know, like people always say, what do I do? The idea is not so much what you do, it's what you're trying to do. What are you trying to become? What are you trying to achieve? When you know what you're trying to become, what you're trying to achieve, when you understand that this is what's available, this is where we're holding now. We're at a point where you can actually embrace this new reality, but you are the one that has to make the shift. You are the one who has to make the change by getting in touch with your own inner Mashiach, so to speak. But you can actually, the point is that Mashiach is already here, redemption is already here. Are you already here? You're still there. You're still stuck back in the Golos. So that's really the challenge. That's what the gauntlet that the Rebbe threw down, so to speak, back already at Chav Ches Nissen, and he keeps elaborating on in the weeks and months that follow, is this idea. The Rebbe keeps trying to hammer home this idea over and over in many different ways, in many different angles, in many different aspects. That it's not about a happening, even though there is a happening that's in the works, and there is a happening that's in store, and obviously you want to do whatever you can to get closer to that happening. But the process whereby you get closer to that happening is, obviously, the Torah itself says many things that you can do to speed up the redemption. But the real work, the inner spiritual work that's needed to speed up the happening is that you have to get there. You have to get to where we are so that now we can go to the next step. Until you catch up, the Rebbe says, I've done all that I can, means I'm ready already. Not, the job is too tough for me, I give up. Hope you guys can work, figure something out. It's the opposite. It's like, I did it already. What I need to do is done. You need to catch up to where I am at now. And again, that's why the Rebbe keeps repeating over and over this idea, you know, the 40 years, and you have the heart to know and eyes to see and ears to hear. The idea is you need to catch up. And when you catch up, then we can all go together to the next step. The degree to which you need to catch up, that Rebbe, in each line, each sikha, the Rebbe says that it was should be enough that we accept good resolutions in this matter. It should be enough that as the Rebbe said in Parshas Emor, that even though after he said that every person is capable of achieving the level of an absolute tzaddik, but nowadays every person can achieve the level of absolute tzaddik, the Eibush shouldn't wait for that. Even if they still have soiled garments, Eibush should take them out, take us out as we are. And we're not limiting it and saying that you have to stop davening, you have to stop saying, okay, listen, we need to catch up, so we're not caught up yet. So, okay, Mashiach, you know, Eivishter, we agree to this situation of things being on hold. No, we want, you only catch up if you really truly want it to be every moment now. If you didn't really, you know, if the person who says, you know what, hold off for a while, I need to catch up, he's not really going to ever catch up. It's the guy who says, I need it this minute, don't wait for me to catch up. But I'm going to keep trying to catch up because I want it as soon as possible. That person is the one who even has a shot of ever catching up. And that's really what it's all about. It keeps coming back to the idea that basically Mashiach is here. And Mashiach and any questions about it are all a product of Golos. And Mashiach is here, and you can point with your finger and say he's here, and every Jew can go over and give him Shalom Aleichem and say back Aleichem Shalom, all those things that we mentioned and the different sirahs leading up there. The Rebbe is emphasizing the hereness, of it all, not the futureness of it all. It's all here. It's all now. It's all present tense, and we keep still relating to it as if it's all way off in the future tense. That's the real inner transition, inner shift that we need to make.
He's not saying we'll see it'll come to the point where it'll be present.
It will come to the point where
it is in the present.
No, the whole point is that he brings the law that shows that of Nazir, it shows that you have to not treat it as something that's in the future, you have to treat it as something in the present. And he says, from this it's understood that when it relates to Terach HaDosh, it should not be something that's in the category of the future, but it's something that's in the category of the present. That's the whole point. Not, you should wish that someday. No, that's the whole point is drawing the parallel that you have to treat it halakhically as if it's an actual present tense reality. That's the... Yeah, and listen, the point, obviously, those who want to avoid dealing with all the stuff that the Rebbe says in these sikhas, says, well, it was a nice wish. And unfortunately, the wish didn't come true. Okay, so you make it all a wish. It was all a wish, and the wish didn't happen. So now we can get on with real life, Golos, yes. We can keep hanging out in Golos. All right. What I know, right? It's where I was born. It's how I was raised. It's what I know. It's what's familiar. It's what's comfortable. Even the uncomfortableness of it is comfortable. It's the familiar uncomfortableness. I like the... it's fun to see things dark and bleak and horrible. It's part of the fun. Being a Golos Jew, it cements your identity of who you are. Right, many Jewish religious groups at different times felt that part of the way of cementing their followers' identity is by having a boogeyman. Right, sometimes in order to cement people's identity, you have to make them all feel. Sometimes it helps that there's something that we're all for, but sometimes it can be just as effective to something that we're all against. We need to have part of the Golos, survival of Judaism in Golos is when we know that what we're all against. We're all in this together against it. For a lot of people, that's what helps them survive. That's what helps them exist in Golos. It's part of the... It's so part of how we relate to being in Golos, how we relate to... surviving in Golos, the whole survival mode, right? It's like the guy, they had this big problem after the Vietnam War. What they did was, in the early years, they exempted almost all college students. So almost everybody who was, so you either had the volunteers, the regular people who volunteered for the army, well, you had the conscripts were almost all people with unskilled, low skills, low levels of education. And so many of them felt they got really good at war and they didn't have anything to look forward to go back home. They weren't particularly welcomed back home. So a lot of those early guys who with those early conscripts kept re-upping. They kept re-signing up again because this is what they got good at. And then when they started throwing college students into the lottery, so then it was a point of pride, these illiterate, unskilled guys who they were like training, teaching these clean-cut college kids how to survive in the jungle. And then the ones who lived through it and the war was over, they had nothing to come home to. So all of a sudden there became a huge market of mercenaries. All around, guys who their main skill was they were really good at fighting and killing and blowing things up, and that was their skill. So there were all these countries in Africa and all kinds of other places that were looking for people who knew what they were doing. So it was a huge market, and it was a big embarrassment for the United States that the There's a whole market of mercenaries that were Vietnam vets and were looking for work. Like, why are they looking for work? Go home. And you finally get to go home. You go home, start a family, get a job. Yeah. They got into that whole mode of survival, to go home. You know, the ones who did go home, they had the post-trauma, they had the problems. The ones who didn't go home, stayed, they kept fighting, kept looking for the next fight. Who needs to be traumatized? And this is fun. They went to look for the next fight. They wanted to look for the. I'm saying, there's a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of people in Gaulis that you know, we're looking for the next fight. We don't want to win. If you actually win, and you have to go home as the winner, then what do you do? Right? Nobody wants to go home a winner. You're a fighter who wants to be a winner. What does a winner do? You go home and sit on your couch. I'm really good at that. That crawling in the jungle. At night and slitting throats silently. What do I sit on my couch and do what? And just go to my basement to play ping pong? I'm gonna, that's not living. That's same. You have this idea and Gaulis. This becomes so much a part of our identity, especially in the times when we're such a small minority. This us against the world is much stronger. Even if it's not so much, you know, even if the physical threats are much smaller than they ever were, but the us against the world mentality in certain ways is much stronger because we're such a tiny minority. And sometimes our own relatives and our own friends look down on us. And sometimes, you know, like, oh, well, you know, so. Us against the world, it's hard to let go of that and say, there's no us against the world, it's all God, man. It's all God. Everybody just wants godliness. The guy wants godliness. They're all hungry for godliness. They're all thirsting for godliness. It's all God and godliness. There's no fight anymore. The fight is over. It's just give the people what they want. Give yourself what you really want. More godliness. That's all you want, man. You don't want anything else. It's just an illusion that you, the idea that anybody wants anything else. Even your own feelings that you think you might want something else. It's all an illusion. It's all God. Everybody's ready. You're ready. Everybody's ready. The world is ready. Everything, all they want is, they want to hear the word of God. Just want to see God, know God. Connect to God. That's all everybody wants. That's all the world wants, all the world needs.